As we are looking at this matter of an identity crisis, we need to realize every one of us are prone to this because of our fallen state. And the only way that we can get back our real sense of security with God is, of course, to come to know the Lord as Savior and then to have a right relationship with Him. But every one of us, because of the fall, are prone to have that sense of insecurity. Knowing we need approval, knowing that things are out of joint, knowing that we are under condemnation. And once we come to know the Lord as Savior, those tendencies are still there. We still have the flesh. And it's through understanding who we are in Christ that we can overcome those kinds of thoughts that Satan loves to use to plague us. Those who have had situations in their past in which there has been brokenness with their homes or with other situations in their life do seem to struggle more with these issues because their perspective on God is skewed. Remember, God gave parents to children to represent Him in those formative days of a child's life, to bring them into a healthy relationship, saving relationship with God, to help them understand the need to follow His will, that they needed to be disciplined to learn that, and that they are sinners, but God has grace. Learn to communicate, learn to be loved and to love. All of these things occur in a healthy parental relationship. But when that relationship is not all that it should be, then people have a skewed view of God and themselves. It's a very real issue. And frankly, there's no perfect parent. So every one of us have first the identity crisis because of the fall, and we have a second identity crisis because we have fallen parents. Now, some of us who have had godly parents certainly are thankful for that, for what God gave. But regardless of how good they were, these are realities. So we've looked at that for a couple of weeks. And today I want to look at one of the facets of insecurity. And that's an overwhelming sense at time of worthlessness. Turn with me first to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, this wonderful chapter that speaks beautifully of our position in Christ and what that means. And I love to preach on those first four verses of chapter 3. In fact, in college, God really got me into a place of really studying the Christ life through a study of Colossians 3, 1 to 4, about being risen with Christ and so forth. And then we see what should be in our lives and what happens when Christ is not in control. And we see that in verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Here we see a father not training, representing God properly, not loving, cherishing, providing security as he ought, keeping his promises, representing the Lord through a lifestyle. There are some aspects of life that cause that father to inject himself and his frustrations and his maybe overbearing training or whatever it is that causes children to become angry, to be stirred up, to react. And the Bible says here that what will come of that is a disheartenment. And that disheartenment, that discouragement, is going to be a focus on oneself in regard to their worthlessness and their not measuring up. Because who does dad represent in the initial days of a child's life? God Almighty. And since we already have that, the reality that we're sinners and need God's favor and God's grace, you have a father that says you're worthless or intimates that you're worthless, or you have a mother representing the father that gets frustrated and irritated, cynical, or whatever. Even parents that do love and try to bring security, but there's things said, and I often tell parents, never categorize your child. Never say, you are a slob. You need to say, your room is not good. Okay, it's a bit of a disaster. You have disobeyed me. We're going to have to work on this, and we will work on this until it is clean and in order. Well, that's a focus on the behavior that's wrong. But if you say you are a slob, that goes to the inner nature of a person. And you could go right down the line. And so many times these categorical statements are made by parents, even well-meaning parents. And so there is a questioning in the heart of a child about who they are, and they become disheartened. They get frustrated. They get angry. And unfortunately, here's another aspect. A lot of discipline is not done properly. That's why we have such a hard time speaking about discipline, and we, of course, have the secular pushback to biblical truth in this regard. But part of this is understandable because there's a lot of abuse in the name of discipline. And many of you have probably struggled in being willing to discipline your own children because the discipline you received was not appropriate. It was anger. It was out of control at times. Now, if you look back at it, be thankful that a parent tried to get you to do right. But there's injury that's involved. And there's a sense of affront. There's a sense of frustration. There's a sense of anger that then causes a child to be disheartened and begin to feel worthless. They already have built-in insecurity anyway, and that just adds to it. Well, this is not a parenting class here today, so I'm going to look. Keeping that in mind, I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, you have the great connection to the faith chapter at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12 about the great cloud of witnesses and the fact that we need to run the race, and Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In fact, he is at the right hand of the throne of God as we preach this morning. And then we have a whole section on what? Chastening. Now, do you realize what a problem a lot of Christians have? They misinterpret God's dealing. And they interpret it wrong. When my son's situation occurred some years back, when he was 2.5, I knew very quickly that that was... It may have been a satanic attack, but it was clearly the chastening of the Lord and the protection of the Lord. I knew it. Talked very quickly to my father about what God dealt with me about. But you know, I don't think at times when I thought my son was going to die, I had to struggle a little bit, obviously. But when it came to this happening, I didn't get angry about it because I was chastened properly. I knew this was good. I hated it for my son, and I have grieved ever since that God had to go to that extent to deal with me, and he still suffers today. And that's a constant reminder of that. But you know, I have a good God. But someone who was not disciplined properly, do you think they have a little problem with trials? Do you think it's possible that those things that God intends for good, now he knows how you respond, and he's going to work it all together. But I'm just trying to give you the basic instinct that you may have. When something happens, instead of saying, God is building me, God's dealing with me, I'm glad for this trial, you say, well, there it goes again, I'm just a mess. You know, I don't know if there's any hope for me. My life just isn't going to count. I'm always getting in trouble. I tell you, some people, it can be a sunny day, but there's a cloud over their head. You know, it's raining on them. That's just the perspective they have. And it's not that they're mad necessarily at anybody else, but they are struggling with the situations in life that God means for good. And let me just read through this. This is a wonderful passage. Let me start with verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor, what's the next word? Faint. Could I say faint into a sense of worthlessness? when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord, say it with me, loveth. Isn't that wonderful? He chasteneth. Now let me stop here. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Okay, I want you to think about it. For whom the Lord loveth, he takes to the woodshed. That's a colloquial interpretation of this verse, but that's exactly what it means. He chasteneth, and then it gets even more graphic, and scourgeth, whoo, every son whom he receiveth. Now, I'm not going to go into details, but there are a few times it wasn't pretty when my dad dealt with me, and he had every right to do it. And I remember it to this day. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've had a couple of times in my mind just sort of blanked it out. But you know what? I never doubted my dad loved me because I needed help. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. One of the proofs of the sonship that we talked about this morning is what? Chastening. It's good. It's because of love. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. You know, which indicates it wasn't necessarily all perfect. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God is wanting us to be so submitted to him that we are in union with him and enjoying all that of that power and grace that he wants us to have. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you let God work, God's going to change you. But notice the next verse. I read all that to get here. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Wherefore, those of you that have given up, feel worthless. Here we go again. I'm just a mess. No hope for me. What's the use? Instead of understanding love is there. This is a matter of God's treating you as a beloved son, that God is shaping you into a place where you can be a partaker of his holiness, that you can have the fruit of righteousness. But instead of seeing that, boom, right to that thinking you've had throughout the years, yeah, something's wrong with me. I'm worthless. And that insecurity kicks in big time in our lives. And so we're to lift up our hands. And verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. Now, this is speaking of the fact, folks, God has a pathway of a perfect will for your life. He's got a road that he wants you to travel, and it's a perfect road. It's a perfect road for you, and he has great things that he wants you to accomplish. You are gifted. You have been created and saved for this pathway of serving him. And all of this working and teaching and preaching and your parents' development and now God's chastening is all to keep you on that path. And he says, don't get off the pathway. Don't just, you know, get limp and your feet get turned out of the way. Don't give up. Let me tell you, how much do you get accomplished when you're all just downhearted? Not much, do you? You know, the biggest task, if you look at the task and think, I can't do this, or even the smallest task seems impossible when you have a wrong attitude toward it. But when you say, I can do this, yeah, you get it done. And I'm telling you, when you look at the Christian life and you're disheartened, you're looking at yourself instead of looking at God, you forget who you are in Christ, and all of those memories and all of those natural responses that you've had over the years to let your insecurity kick in and feel worthless will cause you just to go limp. The idea is get back on the path. Do not allow yourself to be disheartened. Now, do you see how that can happen? Don't waste your trials. Life is a trial. Relationships are pressures. There's much to be learned in the different nuances of life. You've got to understand that your worth never did come from your intrinsic human value to yourself or others. Your worth comes because of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a deep issue in our soul. Without Jesus, where do we go forever? Hell. That's a big deal. And in our consciences, we know that, but we're saved. And so our worth as a son, as a child of God, a daughter of God, one who is heir, all that we are, all that we do are because of the worth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when we allow ourselves to focus inward and look at our weaknesses and go back to the memories of the maybe wrong kind of discipline, things that were said that were hurtful, other situations in your life when there was failure, and this sense that, you know, there is just something dreadfully wrong with me, that is because you have forgotten that you never have had intrinsic worth except to God. And you are very much valuable to God because He loved you, He created you, and He wants you to live with Him forever. But in the humanity of it all, we've got to realize we're but sinners, and oh, wretched people that we are. And so we have to get a hold of that. And so the chastening of the Lord, you got to correct your thinking. The trials, the problems, sometimes the direct issues in your life are always good. They always come because of love. Reading here this week from 2 Corinthians, there when Paul talks about the thorn of the flesh, what does he say about his infirmities? He has learned to do what? Glory in his infirmities. The power can be of God and is not of us. He had to learn that. God had to spank Paul. And he has to do it with each one of us. And so instead of when a trial comes or you face a failure or you didn't know how to handle something, instead of looking inward, look to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to use this. Now I need to learn everything about this I possibly can. And I need to realize that I am valuable to you and that you want me to be successful by your grace to serve you. And Lord, I need to glory in this infirmity that I'm facing. Now, folks, this is very solid biblical perspective that we have to have. Now, keeping that in mind, if we do not respond to chastening properly, but instead we allow ourselves to feel worthless, look what's going to happen in verse 15. Looking diligently, if we don't make straight paths for our feet, if we don't follow peace with all men, if we aren't having the right kind of heart and relationships, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, I want you to put this together. When we allow ourselves to get disheartened and we feel worthless, we're not on the pathway of faith. Guess what's going to come along? Temptation. And it's going to hit you, especially at a time like that. It's a terrible cycle that Satan gets people in. And so what happens is, instead of availing themselves by faith of God's miraculous empowering grace to overcome whatever temptation is there, failure hits. How does that help your worthlessness? See what happens? Now let me say, if you allow yourself to get disheartened, could I tell you that very quickly on the heels of that's going to be a temptation? Is everybody listening to me? This is big. It will come. Because Satan's got you down. It's like a wrestler has a person almost on his back and down, and now that final move comes in. So if he can get you disheartened, he's going to come right in and hit you with a temptation that God has all the grace in the world to give you victory over, but you don't avail yourself of it because you're not thinking by faith. You're not thinking of God loves me. God's chastening is good. These just regular things in life, God's shaping me. I'm his child. I am an heir of God, as we talked about today. God is using this. I can rejoice. And so when that temptation comes, you say, Lord, I'm not looking at that. I'm asking for your power, and I'm so thankful that I can trust you. And you have victory over the trial. You'll have victory over the temptation. Let me say it again. As you by faith have victory over the trial, you'll have victory over the temptation. I'll guarantee the sins that you have been struggling with come when you're disheartened, at least initially. So folks, this matter of worthlessness, we can't for a moment think we can have the luxury of going there. It does not please God. It's not biblical, because you're worth Jesus Christ to the Father. That's how important you are. You are very special to God, every one of you individually. And it's an affront to the creation of God and the salvation of God for us to allow ourselves to feel worthless. We're all sinners. But we're saved. We're his children, and he's working on us. But if we react and get disheartened to the chastening of the Lord, we will then be set right up to fail of the grace of God. And then what happens after that? Lest any root of bitterness, back to verse 15, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want you to get this whole progression. You got in your mind, chastening is because you're worthless. Things are going wrong because something's wrong with you instead of realizing what God's doing because of your past. I haven't gotten over that. I haven't dealt with those things biblically. And then you get disheartened. You just sort of get limp. You get out of God's will. You just sort of survive. Then temptation comes and wham, you're discouraged now. And you know, unless you're walking in the Spirit, you never take full responsibility for your sin. You fail of the grace of God, and your knee-jerk human response is blaming somebody else. Oh, if it hadn't been for my wife or my husband, I wouldn't have been discouraged and that happened. Or if it hadn't been for the situation that I was in. And again, it inevitably goes back to God is really what it does. But that bitterness is that sense of blame, shifting responsibility, and instead of realizing that immediately you can get forgiven, God's grace is sufficient, you can have the fruit of the Spirit. The only reason you're miserable, unhappy, uneasy is because you're not right with God. But here's what happens. That bitterness defiles many. Now you're really getting in a mess. Okay, you're responding wrong to the trials of life, the chastening of the Lord. You're getting down. Your hands are limp. You're not in the will of God. You're not excited about serving the Lord. Bam, temptation comes along. You fall to sin. Instead of getting that matter settled, you begin to blame somebody else. And now, what's happening in your marriage? What's happening in your parent-child relationship? What's happening with maybe some people that were involved in your life? I can tell you right now, bitterness will defile, and that doesn't help your sense of who you are. I'm telling you, men, If you're not right in your marriage, you're going to feel worthless. Wives, if you're unhappy in your marriage, you're going to feel worthless. Parents, if you know you're not treating your kids right because you're bitter, down deep you know you're doing the same thing to your kids that happened to you. And young people, if you're bitter and not treating your parents right, you know that you should be honoring, and there's something deep and empty and a void in your life. Or with other believers or whoever. Sometimes you can be bitter with your parents for the very things I've talked about. And folks, what happened in the past, you've got to give to God and come to reconcile that, and God will do that. We'll talk about that. But this thing's a horrible cycle, because now you've got defeat, and now you don't have the grace of God, and you're disheartened, and now you've got problems with other people, and you know down deep you're hurting people. You didn't treat your wife right. You didn't treat your husband right. You didn't treat your kids right. You didn't treat your parents right. It's because you got bitterness, because you failed the grace of God and you didn't take responsibility and you forgot that God loves you and all that he's allowing is for your good. You've just to let the whole thing fall apart. Think you might have a little trouble with worthlessness at this point? This is where people are. And Satan, you know, he's really glad to be your cheerleader for worthlessness. Now, on the one side, he loves to have you be proud. But if he doesn't get you on that side, he's going to come along and say, you're just nothing. Because that's selfishness, that's self-centeredness, just like pride is. Now, isn't he just a wonderful master? You know, he's more than glad to say amen to your worthless feelings and to try to prove it to you. And so, more sin occurs, more defeat, and of course, God's reaching in and trying to reach you. Okay. But I thought this passage could be a help and reveal how easy it is to go from the natural situation that we're a fallen creation. We naturally have insecurity, but when we're saved, we begin to wake up to who we are in Christ, and then God begins to shape us, work, teach us truth, deal with us about issues, allow trials to come to strengthen us, to guide us, direct us, keep us on the path. Instead, when all of this happens, instead of responding to the Lord, we let the natural reactions from the past come in and we misinterpret what God is doing. You hear the little cliches, God is good all the time, things like that. But folks, there's a reason for those. God is good all the time. God is good to you all the time. God loves you all the time. God is very delighted by who you are. And he loves you intensely like anyone else. And you are very special, uniquely special to him, different from any other person that's ever lived or will live. And we need to understand that. And yet, we get off and we allow our natural insecurities to kick in, and then we feel worthless. So I want to encourage you here tonight. Let's get on the ground of our identity in Christ. Amen. So how are we to handle trials? Count it all joy. What do we find here in Hebrews 12? How are we supposed to respond to chastening? We are to embrace it. We are not to faint. We are not to be disheartened. God is not like your Father. He is the perfect heavenly Father. God will do right by you. And so we need to embrace by faith what the Bible says. Lift up our hands. Get back to believing God. Get right on that pathway. Get excited about the fact that I have a relationship with him and I have a purpose for my life. And in myself dwelleth no good thing, but in me I am more than a conqueror through Jesus that loved me. So, folks, it's great to know the Lord. Don't let those false thoughts grab a hold of your mind. Learn to immediately react to error. Because error about God in this practical sense will lead you to error doctrinally if you don't get it settled, if you live in defeat. So in the eyes of God, no one in here is worthless. If you're thinking so, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You're a valuable child of God if you're saved. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here tonight, this is a matter of just believing God, believing He is good, believing He will take care of you, believing that what He does in your life is the right thing, and saying no to the responses that naturally come up from past experiences with parents or other people. Tonight you say, Pastor, I'm a child of God. I know I'm an heir of God. I understand those things, but I have to admit tonight that I do. When something bad happens, I really get down. I get discouraged. I get disheartened. I think something's wrong with me. Instead of realizing God's doing good things, I even know it in my head, but I don't respond emotionally right. Or maybe you find yourself just getting discouraged and you realize that sin comes along, and then it's easy to get bitter and blame. And you say, you know, I've been part that way down that path, all the way down that path. God's shown me today, I've really got to get my thinking right. I've got to walk by faith. I've got to deal with whatever's in my life. And I need to walk in victory. That I am a child of God that can have a life that stays on that path and has God's power and usefulness. So God has pointed out something to me specifically tonight. I'm not going to go through tonight without nailing it down and being honest about it. And I would ask you to pray with me that I will not allow that problem to go undealt with by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to indicate that by the upraised hand. Would you just slip your hand up if God has definitely put His finger on your heart here tonight? God bless you. Amen. Very important that we deal with these things in a biblical way. You may be here tonight, and if you died, you're not certain what would happen. You're just thinking, you know, what's the use? I hope everything's going to be okay. My friend, you can become a child of God. Anyone like that tonight, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not certain about my eternity. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all, we want to pray for you tonight. Lord, work in hearts. I pray you'll take this passage and these truths, and Lord, free people. And Lord, would we get on the ground of being in Christ and Christ in us? Lord, would we believe it with all of our heart? Make no excuses. And Lord, deal with any bitterness and blame toward anyone else or you. Would we be honest about failing the grace of God? Would we realize that what you do is good? Lord, whatever it is, would you give great victory here for these that raise the hand, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.